For many of us, thinking about God's judgment makes us uncomfortable. I think we prefer instead to focus on God's mercy and compassion. How through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are indeed made worthy to stand before God. We find solace in the assurance that through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. We are incorporated into the body of Christ. And yet, Scripture talks regularly of God's judgment. In our gospel today, we hear an image of the end of the age when the angels are sent by the Son of Man to collect, as Matthew tells us, all causes of sin and all evildoers, and then to throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a startling description of judgment. It certainly sounds frightening to me, and perhaps we feel that it goes against our experience and our understanding of God. We might wonder, where in this is God's compassion and mercy, or God's forgiveness? Context is important in all things, including in Scripture, including in a passage like this. And scholars tell us that today's gospel reading actually has two parts from two different periods. The first is the parable Jesus tells about the sower of wheat and the weed sown by an enemy. And then there's that second part, which is composed later, which contains the judgment of the righteous and the evil, and is an interpretation of the parable that Jesus told. This interpretation was added later by the community that produces Matthew's gospel. Matthew's community was concerned about people who enthusiastically called themselves followers of Jesus, who proclaim Jesus as Lord, yet don't follow his teaching faithfully. They were not living how Matthew's followers believed Jesus called his disciples to live. Matthew's patience was tried by these folk, and he is asking for God's judgment against them. But I think it's important to remember that this is a later interpretation and not originally part of the parable that Jesus told. But having said that, even though this interpretation was added after the time of Jesus, I don't think we should just dismiss it. It is one of multiple examples of God's judgment that we hear in the Gospels and Scripture. In Scripture, we hear how God judges the people, calls them to repent. And at times, God relents from punishing, but at other times, God afflicts the people, doing things like destroying towns, or using a foreign army to defeat God's people, or allowing the people of Israel to be taken into exile. Scripture tells us how God sends plagues to convince Pharaoh to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and how after being freed from slavery, the people wandering 40 years in the wilderness rebel against God, and at one point God disciplines them with a pestilence of serpents. These are not the most comfortable of passages to hear, but I think we can't just simply ignore them or explain them away. Instead, there is merit in seriously wrestling with them and what they might be saying to us. I have found myself recently doing just that. In this time of pandemic, I have thought often of God's judgment as it is found in Scripture. And I've reflected on how Christians interpreted plague and pestilence in the past as a sign of God's judgment visited upon the people. In past eras, people saw in their calamitous times the affliction and the punishment of God at work. We live in the 21st century, and we do not understand illness and pandemic as people in ancient times did. We know that today's pandemic is caused by a virus spread from person to person. We have sequenced its genome. We know, at least in part, how it is transmitted. And most of us do not believe that God sent this modern pandemic upon us to judge us, or to punish us for our sins. Yet, at the same time, I don't think we should assume that the pandemic has nothing to do with God. We mustn't dismiss the possibility that the coronavirus pandemic can be used by God. I think our call in this time is to seek God in the midst of our affliction and to ask where and how God is present, to discern how God is at work in this calamitous time. For God is at work even now, even in this time of great suffering and illness, of death, of so much anxiety. God is not only at work now, but maybe God's call, even God's judgment, is being revealed by this pandemic. Through these months of suffering, the coronavirus has made obvious the great inequities and injustices of our society. The white supremacy upon which our country was founded and which remains a dominant force today is revealed clearly by the pandemic. People of color have been disproportionately affected by the virus, suffering higher infection and death rates, as well as greater economic distress. Since the killing of George Floyd by police in May, the systemic racial oppression of our country has become so clear that those of us who are white cannot simply ignore or dismiss it. Many are talking about this moment being unlike any other and using expressions like scales falling from our eyes. Protests have been sustained for weeks. Systemic changes unimaginable before May 25th are being talked about. This leaves me to wonder, could this be God at work in this time? Could this virus reveal God's judgment against the injustice of our society? Is this pandemic perhaps an opportunity for us to hear God's cry for justice and to act? Perhaps from the horror of this time, God stands ready to bring about something new, something that we desperately need. Maybe the dismantling of white supremacy is God's call in this time of pain and loss, is the new life to which God calls us in the midst of suffering and so much injustice. In reading today's gospel, I also have to be honest that I sympathize with Matthew's community as they hope that others will be punished. Who hasn't imagined judgment falling on those we judge to deserve it? Who hasn't wished punishment upon someone we dislike or disagree with, or on a person we think is not doing what is right? But it is important for us to remember that there is grave danger in doing this. The desires of our hearts are not always as noble as we might hope. We do not understand others as much as we think. And we ourselves are not perfect and are not in a position to judge others. And so it's important to remember that God does not view us or others as we do. And certainly God does not judge as we do. And that brings us to the first section of today's gospel, to that parable that Jesus tells. This parable, Jesus says, teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. It shows us the ways of God's reign. In the parable, a farmer plants wheat, and while everyone is asleep, an enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. Those who are working the farm suggest that the weeds be taken out, they be removed from the wheat. But the farmer worries that the wheat will be damaged if this is done. So he decides to wait until harvest. And at harvest time, the wheat will be gathered into the barn, and the weeds will be burned. The striking thing about this parable is the patience of the farmer. He is willing to watch and to wait. Rather than reacting quickly to save the wheat, he trusts that it will be fine growing among the weeds. And so he patiently waits until the harvest, and then the plants will be sorted out. The wheat will be separated from the weeds. This parable teaches us about God. God is like that farmer. God waits to see what grows. God watches us and everyone as we make the decisions we do, some decisions for God and some decisions not. Rather than rushing to judge us, God gives us time to learn and to grow, and God offers ample opportunities for us to change and to be transformed. This parable asserts that God is patient, that God desires all people choose life with God, that everyone love God and their neighbor. God hopes that all will allow the love of God to grow and to blossom, to bear fruit in their lives. And God waits patiently while we all sort this out. This parable is a call to live with the patience of God. It cautions us to be slow to judge, just as God is slow to judge. We are called to be patient and understanding with ourselves, and we are to be patient with others. We are to think the best of people and to act with the abundant generosity of God, leaving judgment to God's loving and discerning eye. We are called to be patient, generous, loving, understanding with ourselves and with others. Though we often forget it, we are not God. We are created in the image and likeness of God, but we are not God. We do not fully know or understand God's ways. We do not see as God sees, and we do not love all the time as God loves. We cannot comprehend the immensity of the mind of God. And we hear that reality expressed in our first lesson today, where the prophet Isaiah says of God, "Who is like me? Let them proclaim it, and let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be." Isaiah goes on to remind us that only God is God. Only God is able to know what will yet be. And then to tell us to not fear. "Do not be afraid," says Isaiah, "because God is our rock. In God we are safe and can always trust God to support and uphold us. We have nothing to fear in God, including God's judgment. For God does not punish us from whimsy or for revenge. God does not desire the death of any sinner, but that all be saved and come to dwell with God. God longs for everyone to be safely gathered into God's kingdom, just like the parable's wheat is gathered into the farmer's barn at the harvest. And so we need not fear God's judgment, whenever and however it comes. As today's psalm declares, God is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger against us. God is full of kindness and truth in all things, including when judging us. God stands not ready to condemn us, but to refine and purify us, to make us righteous. God seeks to remove from us all that does not accord with God's will, just as the weeds are separated from the wheat. God is not vindictive, but loving, showing us great mercy and compassion. The judgment of God is like a refiner's fire used to remove impurities, used to prepare us for the fullness of God's presence. We do not fully understand the ways of God. We do not fully understand this time. But we can trust God. We can trust that God is love, and that God will and is and always will use all things for good, even this pandemic. For God is our rock, our strength in times of struggle. God is trustworthy and true. And God is able to bring life for the most horrific and hopeless of situations, even bringing resurrection life from death laid in the tomb. Trusting God, may we seek God's call in this challenging and difficult time. And may we allow God to shape and to form us into the people God would have us be. A people who live by love and patience, by generosity and compassion. And may God's love be revealed in and through us, and God's justice brought to birth in us. Just as we are refined and purified, so may God use us for the recreation of this world in anticipation of the age to come. May we shine like the sun in God's kingdom with all the righteous. Amen.